Hello, everybody. This is Bible teacher Mark Browning. We're actually recording this on Christmas night, December the 25th, 2025. We had a wonderful Christmas day together. Anna and Jordy were at the house. We had a wonderful meal, open presents. Elizabeth contacted me from Kentucky, and they had a pajama party or something. But anyway, I hope everybody that's listening and connected to this ministry, I hope you have a blessed Christmas. I hope that 2026 is the greatest year you ever have. And that doesn't necessarily mean that everything's going to go your way, but it means that you're going to stay connected to Jesus. And if you're not connected to Jesus, I pray that through this ministry and through this information, you'll get connected to him, because life has no purpose if Jesus isn't in it. I can tell you that right now. He's the creator of all things. In him is life, and that life was the light of men. And the truth is in Jesus, not a truth, but the truth. The truth is in the Lord Jesus. And our creator became part of creation and was born in a manger 2,000 years ago in the city of Bethlehem. And his mom wrapped him in swaddling clothes. But I'm going to come to you tonight from a little bit different angle. We're going to get him out of that manger. I've heard a whole lot of songs about Oh Holy Night, Silent Night, Away in a Manger, and all those things are wonderful, but we're going to get him out of the manger because he's the resurrected Lord. He's the King of Kings, and he is the head of the church, and that's what we're going to talk about today, because we're going to continue our discussion of, are we fully preaching the gospel? We're going to continue that discussion. That's going to be our theme. So my sort of Christmas verse is going to come out of Galatians chapter 4. And I'm letting you know that Teresa's running the verses on the computer, because I borrowed Anna's Bible and the print's so small that I'm not sure that Superman could read it. I'm telling you, the print was so small. So I'm going to have to read this off the screen. Here's our verse, Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So God sent his son to redeem us from the law of sin and death, and he transferred into the kingdom of the son of his love, and we've been set free by the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to go over and read some passages out of Ephesians. I'm going to go pick it up over here in chapter 1 of Ephesians. I want to read this about the Lord. I'm going to pick it up in verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Yes, sir. Write it down. He's not in a manger anymore. He's not wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is the head of the church. Another way of saying that is he's the boss. How many of you in your life have had a boss? You know, the last several years of my life, I've been the boss. But even when you're the boss, you got a boss, because you know, you got to do things the way God wants you to do them, or you're not really fulfilling a scripture. But most of us have lived our life and had a boss. And if we don't do what the boss says, and we don't perform the way the boss says we ought to perform, I venture to guess that most people would lose their jobs. Or if they wouldn't lose their jobs, they might not get promoted, or they might have to take a reduction in pay. Keep that in your mind now. Jesus is the head of the church. Let me show you what it says about him in Revelation chapter 1. I'm going to bring the hammer down tonight, because I want everybody to know that we're not fully preaching the gospel. We're not doing what the boss said. And some of us don't deserve to get full pay. In fact, I would also say this and be this bold on Christmas night. I would say some of us actually need to be fired because we're not telling people what Jesus said we ought to be telling them. And we're not doing what Jesus said we ought to be doing. You know, if the girls that work for me didn't do what I said to do and tell people what I said to say or what I said, they wouldn't work for me. I wouldn't be married to Teresa if I didn't do what she said to do and say what she said. That's a joke. That's a joke. Marriage is a confluence of unity between two believers. Let's get down towards the end of the chapter here, Teresa, and let's read this about the Lord Jesus. I want y'all to see what it says here. Listen to this. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, verse 13 of Revelation, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band, his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. This is talking about the Lord Jesus. This is talking about the Lord Jesus. We don't have to sing away in a manger anymore. We sing the hallelujah chorus. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." Oh, let's say that to the church. Let's say to everybody on this glorious Christmas day, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." He's the boss. He's the king. He's the Lord of lords. And if he's the boss and if he's the king, shouldn't we be doing what he said to do? And shouldn't we be saying what he said to say? Now, you know, that seems awful simple. And yet most of the body of Christ, most people that are having church services and having Christmas services, they didn't completely do what Jesus said to do, and they didn't say completely what Jesus said to say. And again, I'm not bringing this up because I'm trying to be critical of people. I've admitted to you that I haven't fully preached the gospel either. I've fallen short in some areas, and I'm going to bring that up later on future lessons. But tonight, I'm going to talk about the things that I've stayed strong about. And so let's get over to Mark chapter 16. And let's see what the boss of the church, the head of the church, the conqueror of the devil, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, let's see what he told us to do. Mark 16, 14. Now listen to it very carefully, because that's going to bring up something else I want to talk about. Lord, thank you for that. I want to get this across too. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Listen to me very carefully. One of the things that we over-talk about, and this is going to sound strange what I'm going to say, but one of the things that we overemphasize about Jesus is how he loves everybody. He just loves everybody. You can be any way you want. You can act any way you want. You can do anything you want. He just loves you. No, that is not correct. That is not right. He rebuked these folks because of their unbelief and because of the hardness of their heart. So you got to understand that. You know what? If I'm a good parent, and my kids are what we call grown now, but when I was raising them, I wouldn't have been a good parent if I never rebuked them. If I didn't tell them to certain things you shouldn't be doing, certain things you shouldn't be saying, and certain places you shouldn't be going. Right? That's part of love. Part of love is telling people the truth. Part of love is telling people the truth and being able to accept the fact that they may not like you for a while. My kids have gone through stages where they didn't like me, but they like me more and more the older they get because they know I'm not quite as dumb as they thought I was. Can I get an amen? They've always liked Teresa because You know, she's Teresa. She's one in a million. That's what I tell her. She's one in a million. He said he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, now listen very carefully. And he said to them, who's talking? The head of the church, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the firstborn from the dead, the conqueror of Satan. Amen. The head of the church, the boss, our boss. Here's what our boss said to them. Go into, this is so good, man, by the way. You're going to see where I'm going here. I know Teresa's going to see it because she's with me and she knows what we listen to. And he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So it's not exclusive to black people or red people or white people or brown people. It's for every creature. And if there's another color out there that I missed, it's for every creature. If it turns out that they found some alien somewhere in New Mexico, it's for him too. There's nothing greater than God. He created everything. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, the church I'm going to, the evangelical church I'm going to, they believe that part of it. They teach people to believe in Jesus. They teach them about conversion, and they'll get you in some water as soon as they can get you in some water, and they'll dunk you to get you baptized. So they're obeying that part of the command. Listen, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. They'll follow those who what? Believe. Is that limited to just the apostles? No. Is that limited to just the pastor of the church? Is that limited to just TV preachers? And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Oh my goodness. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Listen to this. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Are we fully preaching that? Did you go to a church service today where they laid hands on the sick? Did you go to a church service today where they cast out devils? Did you go to a church service today where they spoke with new tongues? And when it talks about taking up serpents and drinking anything deadly, it means nothing will hurt you when you're out and you're out doing missionary work and evangelizing and going to church. Did we fully obey the command of our boss? Did we fully do what our boss said to do? No. So do we deserve to be fully paid? No. Do some of us really, if we're being serious now, if we're being honest, and some people do this sincerely because they don't know any better and they're denominationally brainwashed or they're deacon possessed by their board. Are you listening to me? If you don't do these things because you're scared it's going to make people mad or you're going to lose some members, then shame on you. Because the head of the church, the boss, the King of Kings said that not only are we to preach the gospel to every creature and get them baptized, and are we doing that? Did we go to a church last night that they preached salvation? Did they promote water baptism? Do they continue to do that? In the whole time that we've gone to that church, have they called anybody up, had them lay hands on them so they would recover? Have we seen any devils being cast out? Have we heard anybody speak with new tongues? So are we fully preaching the gospel? Am I mad about it? No, I'm not really mad about it. I'm trying to just bring information and correction and stuff to people so you can dig a little deeper and get more from the Lord than what you think you have. Just get more from the Lord and thinking, well, I got my life insurance policy. I've got the umbrella of being saved, and I guess everything else will be all right when I get to heaven. No, you need all these things now. Sick people that come to our church, we ought to be laying hands on them because that's what our boss said. That's what our boss said. Our boss said to lay hands on the sick. And notice this says, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. By the way, let me say this first before I go a little bit different direction. Do you know that Mark Browning, your preacher, your Bible teacher, do you know that he speaks with new tongues? Do you know that I've cast out devils before? Do you know that I've laid hands on sick people and they've recovered? Did you know that? Now, have everybody I've laid hands on that was sick, did they all recover? No. Did everybody that's ever been demon possessed, did I get them out of that problem? Not necessarily. But I did it because the boss said to do it. Somebody said, but I'm scared if I do it, nothing will happen. Well, you don't have anything to lose. What if something does happen? And wouldn't you rather stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I did what you said to do in your gospel. I did what you said to do in Mark's gospel, chapter 16. Now, it says, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And somebody said, well, I've tried that. Nothing happened and they didn't get better. Look at what it says in 2 Peter 3:9 real quick. Let me take you over there. 2 Peter 3:9. This is where we miss it. This is where we're not telling people the whole story. And this is what we don't understand, because we're walking by sight and we're not walking by faith and we're not doing what the Word of God says do, regardless if we see the manifestation. Do it anyway. Start laying hands on the sick and start expecting them to recover because the boss said to do it. The head of the church said to do it. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us. Thank you, Lord. Not willing that any should perish, but that all. How many? Aww. But that all should come to repentance. Let me ask you a question. Does everybody that we preach the gospel to, do they receive it? Do we see a change in their life? Do a lot of people just simply flat out reject it? Do they fight you about it? But does it cause us to quit telling people about salvation? No. And that should be the exact same attitude we have about sickness and disease, because sickness and diseases does not originate in heaven. Jesus didn't bring any sickness with him. He brought healing. He brought wellness. He brought wholeness. And he went about doing good and healing everybody who was oppressed by the devil. See, if we would get the same attitude relative to these things about tongue talking and about laying hands on the sick and just doing what Jesus said do and just expect results to follow, we'd see way more results. Good evangelical Christian churches led by good evangelical ministers are average. I'm going to say average. I'm going to say you may not deserve a promotion, because if you're not doing the rest of Mark 16, you're not fully preaching and you're not fully teaching the gospel. But at least there are some ministers who are dedicated to getting people saved and getting them water baptized. And if we had the same attitude about the rest of those verses and acted on them because Jesus said, do it, we'd see more results. That's the way it works. That's the way anything works. The more you do something, the better you get at it. Except golf. Can I get an amen? I hope you're catching a hold of what I'm saying. And I know it makes some people mad, but I can't worry about that. I can't worry about you getting mad. I got to tell you the way it is. And I'm thankful that people are getting converted, but most people are getting converted and they're not doing much more for the kingdom of God than just getting converted. And we need, in the world we live in today, with the evil that's in the world today, we need more people that's got all the equipment, that can talk in tongues, that have the faith to lay hands on sick people and expecting them to recover. Y'all see where I'm going with that? Now, you know, if you're really and truly honest, and the Bible is the book you go by. See, the Bible's the book I go by. Don't give me any other book. Don't tell me any other book stands on par with the Bible. Don't give it to me. I'm not interested in it. But if you really honor the Bible and you really look these verses up, you'll know that the boss, the person we work for, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the risen Savior, you know that he said not only to get people converted and get them baptized, but he also said to lay hands on them and they'd recover. He also said they'd speak with new tongues. Now look what happens as we finish this verse. Verse 19, watch this now, pay attention. This is really important. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere. Wonder what they preached everywhere. They preached salvation. They preached healing for the sick. And they preached the baptism of the Holy Spirit the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Think about this. Somebody said, well, nobody gets healed at my church. You know why? Nobody's laying hands on sick people. Nobody talks in tongues at my church. Nobody gets a prayer language at my church. Nobody believes in that in my church. You know why? Nobody's preaching it. Nobody's giving Jesus something to confirm. Look at that. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. He's confirming the salvation message. I think last night at this church we went to, I think probably in three services, about 20 people raised their hand and committed their life to Jesus. You know why 20 people raised their hand and committed their life to Jesus? Because that's what they preached. Because they obeyed that part of the command. They listened to that part of the boss's message. And he confirmed that word. I'm being so bold to you on this Christmas night to tell you that if we'll start laying hands on sick people, they'll start recovering. I'm telling you, if we tell people that they can speak with new tongues, they'll start speaking with new tongues. I'm telling you, if we tell them that we can cast out devils, we can cast devils out of people. Are you listening to me? See, a lot of these things that are going on in our society is not mental illness. It's not depression. It's because these people are demonically possessed and they go into these places and kill people. And we as ministers of the gospel have the ability to go about and cast that devil out of that person in the name of Jesus. And if we'll talk that way, if we'll teach that way, if we'll preach that way, Jesus will confirm that word through the accompanying signs. Can y'all see that? Man, I might need to slow down just so you can breathe that in. Breathe that in. Don't get mad about it. Don't run away from it. Don't take shelter in some denominational abyss and just stay content with absolutely nothing really different going on in your life. Start seeing the supernatural in the name of Jesus. And I'm talking to me as much as I am talking to you. And let's just be honest about it. If you're a minister, or you're a Sunday school teacher, or if you're a children's church worker, and you're listening to this program and you're not telling people all these things in Mark chapter 16, you don't deserve a pay raise. Maybe you might even deserve a little of a demotion just so you can get rebuked and get rid of the hardness of your heart. Know that God wants these things to be operating in your lives. In Jesus' name, can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Now that I've got you all fired up and made most of you mad, let's go over and look what it says in James chapter 5. Man, listen to these things more than one time, because see, the Lord showed this stuff to me today when I was asking him about the sermon. We got to do what our boss says do. Amen. If we don't act like he said to act and say what he said to say, we can't expect him to confirm the word because we're not giving him any word to confirm. James 5, 14. Is anyone among you sick? If we're only going to a denominational evangelical church that only believes in salvation, here's how the rest of that text would read. If that's the only kind of church we're going to. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the doctor. Let him make an appointment. Let him go see his pharmacist, right? Now listen, is it wrong to go to a doctor? No. Is it wrong to get drugs from a pharmacist if it'll make you better? No. But is it God's best? No. And did Jesus say that these signs will follow those who believe? If you call the doctor, he'll make you better? No, it said these signs will follow those who believe. You'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Somebody said, I'm scared to do it. Well, don't get scared. I'm going to throw a Hulk Hogan on you because, you know, he died in 2025 and he was a born again Christian. He gave his life to the Lord and got baptized before he died. What you going to do, brother? What you going to do? Is anyone among you sick? He don't say call for the doctor. He don't say call for the nurse practitioner. He don't say call for the therapist. He says, let him call for the elders of the church. Somebody said, what's your name? Well, I'm so-and-so. What's your job title? I'm the elder at so-and-so church. I've been there for 30 years, elder in that place. You believe that you should be laying hands on the sick and they'll recover? Oh, no, brother, we don't believe that. That passed away with the apostles. It's not God's will to heal everybody. We don't go that direction. We love people, though. We just tell them how much we love them, and we tell them how much God loves them. But we can't help them when they're got cancer all over their body, or, you know, their heart don't work right, or they're in pain all the time, or their nose is always running. No, no. According to this verse of scripture, in order for you to be an elder of a church, you got to believe in the prayer of faith relative to healing the sick. Did y'all hear that? Is anyone among you sick? Let him, here's what the Bible says. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Again, this is a verse telling you what to do. Let's break this out. Is James an apostle? Did he work for Jesus? Was Jesus his boss? James was an apostle. James worked for the Lord Jesus. James had the privilege of being an author of one of the books of the Bible. It's inspired scripture. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. He's telling us what the boss said to do. He probably is going to be worthy of a promotion. He's going to be exalted, and he got exalted to the point that they let him have an epistle in the great Holy Bible that will be here when we're long gone. It'll be here when all the corrupt politicians and all the evil men that's ever lived on the earth are long gone. The Bible will still be here. That evil demon-possessed man that shot and killed Charlie Kirk and came into that courtroom smirking and acting all sanctimonious, he'll be dead and gone, and the Bible will still be there. Jesus will be there. By the way, he'll stand before God, and he'll be judged for shooting Charlie Kirk in the neck. Are you with me? Unless he repents. And based on what I've seen, that doesn't look like a guy with a repentant heart. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let's look at the instructions. Let him call for the elders of the church. So if you're an elder of a church, you ought to be receptive to people calling you on the phone and asking you to pray over them relative to sickness, relative to pain, relative to disease. Are you listening? See? Why? Because Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe in my name. You'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. That word save is the same word for healed. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Now listen to this. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So let's be real here. Did you know that most of the promises of God are conditional? There's certain things you have to do. There's certain principles we have to follow. In this verse here, there's conditions on it. Just praying over somebody and anointing them with oil won't heal them. You have to pray over them, anoint them with oil, and pray the prayer of faith. See, the prayer of faith is, I believe, I receive when I pray. That's the instruction. That's the condition. The condition is the prayer of faith prayed over the sick person, prayed over the person that's been anointed with oil, the prayer believing you receive when you pray, not when you feel better, not when it don't hurt anymore, but when you pray, the Bible says the Lord will raise that person up. And then it says that if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. The real truth of the matter is a lot of us get sick because of stuff we do to ourselves. The greatest disease in America today is gluttony. That's because we live in a society of success and we don't think about going hungry. All we think about is keep stuff in our face. And somebody said, you're being mean. I'm being mean to myself because I've spent most of the day stuffing my face. And you can't do that on a regular, consistent basis and expect not to have some physical problems pop up in your body. It's impossible. Your body wasn't made to carry that much weight and to do with all that stuff. Or you might be smoking cigarettes or over abusing alcohol or taking marijuana. Or you might be in a place where you're so stressed out about your job and about your marriage and about relationships that stress will make you sick. But the good news is God's not holding that against you. Look at this verse with me. The good news is God's not holding that against you. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. If you go to your elder who believes in divine healing, who believes in Mark 16, 15 through 18, if you go to that elder and he lays hands on you and y'all pray the prayer of faith and you believe you receive when you pray, if you're in that condition because you did something to yourself, not only will God heal you, but he'll forgive you for putting yourself in that condition. Praise God.
Amen.
Man, that's good news on December 25th. That's good news any day of the week. I'm just telling you, that's just good news. And that's what it means when we talk about, are we fully preaching the gospel? That's why it breaks my heart when I know that these churches are not offering prayer for the sick. They're not teaching them that they ought to be praying in tongues, and they're not teaching them these things. And that's why it breaks my heart, because I've been called by God to fully teach and fully preach the Bible. And again, there's some things that I have not talked about in fullness, and I'm going to try to make correction along that line. And there's things about healing, and there's things about speaking in tongues that I may not have the answer for, and I may not know exactly why certain things happen, but it's not going to keep me from still telling people that it's not God's will for you to be sick.
Amen.
And so here's what they say. I'm going to finish up with this part of it. They said, well, now, preacher, we just don't lay hands on sick people because we see that they don't get any better. In fact, I'll tell you a little story. For many years, I did the tax return for a minister. I won't tell you what denomination, but he left town. He moved out of town, but I did his tax return for many, many years. And his wife got cancer, and she got bad cancer. It kind of went into her whole body. The last year I did his taxes, he said he didn't think she was going to make it. And so I got a little bold with him, and I said, well, have you prayed the prayer of faith over? Have you anointed her with oil? And he said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, listen to me very carefully. Listen. He said, oh, yeah, but he said, God didn't heal her. And because God didn't heal her, we know it's not his will. So if she dies, it's because God wants her to. And, you know, I didn't fight him on it because I knew it was so deep in him that it would have been a waste of my time. But see, that's looking at everything so naturally. See, we don't say that about people that don't receive the gospel, that don't receive salvation. We keep at it. We keep at it. Some people are in heaven today because you didn't quit on them. You didn't give up on them. You kept telling them about Jesus. You kept praying for them. But we just leave sickness and disease in the hand of medical science. And if medical science can't do the job, then it's over and done. And that's not God's best. That's not the way it ought to work. See, here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. I wonder if Jesus loves me as much as he loves this leper. I believe if it's possible, he loves me more than he loves this leper, because when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son born of a woman to redeem us from the curse of the law so that we could receive adoption as sons. I believe he actually would love me more if it's possible than he loves this leper. So Matthew 8 verse 1, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came. I like this now. This is important too. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him. I love Matthew's version on these healings, because almost everybody that comes to him, Matthew puts in there that he worshiped him. You see, some people come to God like it's Santa Claus. You know, this is December 25th, and so that'll fit here. Some people come to God like, you got to do it. You're God. You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it. You're God. You got to do it. No, we need to come to him and worship him because he's God and we're not. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Ooh, there's a lot of truth in that. Most people believe God can. You know, if you don't believe God can, you don't know anything about the God of the Bible. God can. The Bible says God can do anything. He can part the Red Sea. He can turn water into wine. He can feed 15,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He can walk on water. Amen. He can raise a man out of the grave that's been dead for 4 days. Oh, no, it's not that he can't. It's willing. If he can do that, can he heal cancer? If he can do that, can he heal heart disease, tuberculosis? arthritis, bursitis in any of the rightest brothers? Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I don't know, maybe. How good have you been? You've been doing everything right. You've been crossing all your T's and dotting your I's. Hey, I heard you didn't go to the temple and pay the temple tax. I heard some things about you, buddy. I heard you went over to that Jerusalem bar and was sipping some of that Jerusalem wine. Is that what he said? Did he say to him, you know, God's using this to help and teach people. He's using this to help you and train you and teach you. Is that what he said to him? He said, well, now, you know, you never know what God's going to do. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. Is that what he said to him? Have you heard all these things in your Christian walk?
Sure.
Are these excuses we make in our churches? Absolutely they are. And let me tell you what they are. They're excuses. And we're not doing what the boss said do. We're not doing what the boss said do. The boss said to lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. The boss said that if you're sick and you're a believer, that you should call for the elders of the church and they'll anoint you with oil and the prayer of faith will save the sick. And if you've committed any sins, they'll be forgiven. That's what the boss said. Somebody said, oh, I'm telling everybody what Jesus says. I'm only doing what Jesus said to. Not if you're not laying hands on the sick. Not if you're not telling them about praying in tongues. Not if you're not casting out devils. Praise God. See, I'm preaching to myself too. I'm preaching right to me. My son busted his ankle on the job and I haven't gone in there yet and laid my hands on it, commanded that ankle to be restored. And I'm going to do that right after we get through preaching here. It's just amazing how we just kind of let things slide. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Verse 3. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Somebody said, why don't it work that way today? Because we don't know if God's willing. First of all, we got to know he's willing. And then we got to do what he said do. And that's to be the one that heals the person by us doing the laying on of hands. By us anointing with oil. Amen. By us praying the prayer of faith. God has to work through us. He has to work through us to get people saved and water baptized. And he has to work through us to get people healed and filled with the Spirit. In Jesus' holy name. This might be one of the best sermons I've ever given people on this wonderful Christmas night. December the 25th, 2025. Listen, if you've been listening by radio and internet, you've heard that Jesus has been raised from the dead and he's seated at God's right hand and he's far above all principality and power. And the Bible says, whoever calls on his name will be saved. Say this prayer with me if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God and you want to be a partaker of God's divine nature and escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. Say this prayer with me. Say, Dear God,
I believe
that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And that he sits at your right hand. With my mouth.
I confess.
Jesus. You are Lord. I want you to live through me. I repent of my sins. And with your help and the Holy Spirit. I'm going to live for you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer in a minute, you're now a son of the living God. Now, if you're listening by radio or internet and you've got problems physically, I can't lay my hands on you because I can't do it from this computer, but I can speak to that right now in the name of Jesus. And I can say to you that's suffering with sickness and disease, God didn't do this to you. God's not making you sick. God's not making you depressed. God doesn't want you to be lonely. God doesn't want you to be in strife. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So all I can do from my position here is to speak that truth into your life. And then I want you to lay your hands on yourself. Just lay your hands on yourself. Because if you're a believer, you can lay hands on the sick and you'd be one of the persons that's sick. Just lay your hands on yourself. And say this, say, in the name of Jesus,
I rebuke this sickness.
I rebuke this disease.
I rebuke depression. rebuke depression.
And I rebuke loneliness.
Rebuke loneliness.
And I speak life.
I speak life.
And I command me to be whole.
And I command me to be whole.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Because it's the name.
Because it's the name.
Above every name.
Above every name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you did that by faith, just believe it. Just believe it. You know, I don't care how bad I act. Nobody's going to ever talk me out of being saved.
Amen.
And we ought to have that same attitude about sickness and disease. Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you that we can share this through this thing called the internet. And this message can go out to everybody. And I believe that it won't return void, but it'll do wonderful things to people who hear it and believe it and receive it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
Amen.